Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's Wolves Fancast. David Evans here on the podcast this week. Adam's here.
Good afternoon.
You were trying to adjust the time zone.
I had to think. I'm still on go over.
We met at 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Dan's here.
Hello.
Jake's here.
Hello.
We're recording the podcast this week, but earlier this week for recording at the Wolves Museum. We're going to talk about more about the museum and some of the great things you can see here in the heart of the North Bank. You can see about the rich history of our club and Wolves. But for this podcast, at the moment, we're going to talk about Chelsea in a bit. We're going to do Twitter Corner and the quizzes and all that. And we'll start off with Cardiff in a second. But gentlemen, for months and years, we always dream of a summer away pre-season tournament, and it sounds like we are going to get one. The Asia Premier League trophy. It's been reported that Wolves will join Man City, Newcastle and West Ham for a tournament in China in July. Gentlemen, have we all got enough loyalty points to go to China? That is the question.
I think you've got to have like a platinum away season to get to that one.
It's going
to
be platinum, diamond, Tiberium level of membership. Essentially,
I imagine there'll be quite a decent volume that want to go. It all depends on how many coaches the Havertons are putting on. I'm sure Stu will be able to tell us that.
Yeah. But this is good. This is the sign that we all say about becoming an established Premier League team, that when you're being invited to these kind of tournaments abroad against, you know, similar teams. I would like to have seen, obviously it's a Premier League tournament, but I'd like to have seen these tournaments against other sides outside of England.
The Bohemians are devastated, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's our normal. That was our go-to pre-season friendly, and we've stepped up a little level of class now, haven't we?
Massive. I was looking at flights ranging between £400 to £600. Get on it now, because the Atherton ain't going to be putting any coaches onto this one.
They're just beaming there, going, "So, lads, just sending you the usual booking for the summer." What? No. What?
The official coach travel will be on your Lyon's coach, departing Molineux at 2 a.m. to London Heathrow.
Oh, but it's good, gentlemen. Though it's good.
Well, we've got a pre-season trophy to retain, haven't we? We won one last season. Well, the start of this season, didn't we?
Will we go back to defend that, though, in Switzerland?
Switzerland, was it? Yeah.
So you're saying if we win the FA Cup, we've done the double this season?
All I'm saying is...
That is what we're saying.
When we've won the FA Cup and this pre-season trophy, we'll have won more. We'll be close to catching up on Liverpool for all time. Because they ain't going to win the title.
Ooh, you heard it here first.
They better not win the title. We're going to stop them last game of the season. We're going to win the FA Cup. Blues are going to beat Albion in the playoffs. And then we might as well just call off football from there because the game's complete.
Can you imagine that last game where it could be Liverpool to win the title, Wolves to win
Connor Cody
to
winner.
Get a Europa League place?
Connor Cody with the winner.
Yeah.
Comes up for his first corner of the year.
Does he celebrate?
Oh, top off the lot, innit? In the away end.
He'd be so conflicted.
Or if he scored the winner at the cop end in like the injury time.
Yeah.
And he runs into the Liverpool fans to celebrate because he's just completely
on the cop. Forgets where he is, yeah.
Anyway, we'll see what more will come of pre-season. But that sounds exciting.
It might be one of those like televised, hopefully it's one of them televised pre-season tournaments like the Emirates.
It's early morning, isn't it? There'll be early morning, them fixtures, won't they? I have to book the days off work.
I'll check live score when I wake up.
Right, let's talk about the game on Saturday, gentlemen. And Wolves won 2-0 at home to Cardiff City to have their highest point total in the Premier League in Wolves' history. Goals from Jota and Jimenez in the space of a couple of minutes gave Wolves the win. There's a lot of talk about this game, gentlemen. It was a very nice game, wasn't it? It was your classic 2-0, comfortable, go home for your tea kind of game, which I've been talking about for quite a while. But first bit I want to talk about is on Friday, the big news came out that Ruddy was going to start in goal instead of Patricio, which obviously everyone had an opinion on, of course. What did we all think at the time? And based on the game yesterday, what do we think now?
I thought it was a psychological move. Mm. I thought he put Ruddy in because of the Cardiff game last year where they missed two. Well, he saved one penalty, they missed the other one. I think from Nuno, as much as he says he is warming him up for the FA Cup, maybe he's giving Patricio a rest as well, because I mean he didn't have much of a summer break.
He wasn't on the bench at all, was he?
So he's given Patricio a rest, he's put Ruddy in, and to be fair, Ruddy had one thing to do all game. And you know, neither of our goalkeepers can kick, so you're not expecting much else from him, but he did well. He didn't do much wrong, but he didn't have much to do.
That first moment in the game when he had that save and spilled it felt like a bit of a sliding doors moment. Because that goes in, everyone's kind of thinking on his back already from that moment. You think how the game goes, but
didn't you preempt that in the WhatsApp group, Dave?
I think I did. Didn't I say something like he'd go and kick the ball, but actually accidentally backheel it? into his own net, then try and catch it. It spills, hits his head and goes in.
He'll not want to see that one again.
No.
Yeah.
Onto the blooper reel.
Yeah, my heart sort of sunk for that when he fumbled that one shot in the first couple of minutes. I personally don't agree about Patricio being dropped. He ain't a box-to-box midfielder like Dave Edwards, is there?
Well,
no, I don't think any goalkeeper should ever be rested.
I'm not saying I agree with it, but I can see why he did it. Yeah. I'm not saying that I would have done it, nor that I agree that he did it, but I'm sort of looking at any reasoning why it happened.
I just thought he was brought in purely because of the aerial bombardments that Cardiff was going to throw in.
It was more of a tactical thing than anything
else. I think so. I think he handles his box a lot better than what Patricio does. The first two corners at Huddersfield, the other night he flapped at. And I thought Ruddy was brought in for that reason.
Well, we'll talk about Chelsea a bit, but he's already said, Nuno, that Patricio's back for Chelsea. Adam, what do you think of the old Ruddy start?
I just thought it was just bizarre. It really was bizarre. I mean, they're saying preparing him, making sure he's prepared for a game that's not for another 2 weeks. So,
not against an opposition like Man United.
Yeah, and it's putting him in against an inferior opposition. Because playing Cardiff will not be like playing Man United, let's face it. And also, it's not as if it's his first game in 10 years.
Yeah.
He played a couple of weeks ago in the Cup. So he's not... I don't understand it. So does that mean Ruddy's playing against Chelsea?
No, that's mean he's already confirmed that Patricio's back in goal for Chelsea.
So that makes it even more bizarre then, because why is he preparing him for a game then and he won't play for another 2 weeks now after today, or yesterday rather?
And it's not even like a keeper needs match fitness either.
A keeper doesn't need... you said about like resting Patricio. Keepers don't need rest. That doesn't wash. And then talking about Patricio to save him from the bombardment from Cardiff, but that doesn't wash either, because the guy's like an international number one keeper, played in Euros, World Cups, the lot. Telling me you protect him from just a few crosses from a team that will put in the box.
Who was it for in the away game?
Yeah, but so what? It doesn't. He's a good enough keeper to recover from
and learn from it.
But it just doesn't. As it was, it didn't really matter that much, because they really didn't have much to do apart from the fumble.
Yeah,
first 5 minutes, which was a concern. But after that, nothing really. It wasn't really tested. So to that point, what's he actually learnt? What's Ruddy or Nuno learnt? Because he didn't really do anything.
No. I thought that's been one of Ruddy's main weaknesses: his sharpness. Because I mean, he's a decent keeper. I mean, there was a lot of uproar about him being put in, but he was hard like putting mean goal. Was it on Saturday? He's a top quality keeper, but like last season, he dropped a. He let in a couple of soft goals because his concentration levels just weren't there.
He's done it this season as well, though.
And Shrewsbury in the cups and stuff.
He's made a few mistakes, but so is Patricio. So it's a difficult one. It's a difficult one to see why he's dropped Patricio for someone who, as Adam says, isn't going to play again for another 2 weeks. It seemed bizarre at the time, but it was vindicated.
It was bizarre that he announced it in the press conference before the game. That was the thing that.
But then so there was less uproar about Traore playing right back.
Well, that does that go back to what Jake said about was it psychological a bit to Cardiff as well?
I think that there might have been something in that, because the game last year.
Warnock had said after their defeat against Everton in the week that he'd already said, "I already know what my team is." Obviously, he didn't say what the team was, but I don't know whether there was a bit of a play there, because there was a bit of play in the press about. Didn't Warnock say something like that his wife's favourite manager is Nuno as well?
Should we not go into what was chanted at the end of the day?
It was Ruddy's first Premier League start since May 2016, by the way. Just a little stats right for you there. Before the game itself as well, let's talk about the team selection. Many changes. Vinagre, Traore, Sace, Gibbs-White all in. I know there'll be certain individual performances we want to talk about, but I'm sure like everybody, we were probably all surprised by the team changes on that. And Nuno, the tactical genius is, he got it right. But again, we're all surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think... Obviously, we all knew about Ruddy, but I don't think no one really expected the number of changes. What was it, four in total?
Four changes.
Four changes total?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Well, five. Sorry, five with Ruddy.
So, I was surprised. I don't know about you guys. I wasn't expecting that at all. But I said in the group before the game, I was just strangely confident that it would work. I had no rhyme or reasons to why it would work. But it just seemed to work quite well. I mean, we know Neves hasn't been playing that great last couple of weeks, so you can understand him dropping out. I suppose taking Johnny out was a bit of a weird one.
Yeah, the midfield I could understand because of the physicality of Cardiff. But our two fullbacks have done not a lot wrong.
Yeah.
And putting in two very attacking fullbacks, a right winger / striker at right back and a left winger, he played really well. But it was a really attacking formation. really, yeah. A really attacking lineup. But the midfield, I could understand.
It seemed to give some reassurances that there was the depth ability. We've talked about reasonings where you look at the bench and sometimes you think, oh, I don't know who's really going to change the game from this. But at least it showed that we can change the squad a bit. Yeah. I know it was Cardiff by saying that to an extent, but at least it showed that we can change the squad around a bit and still have an effect.
And we've got some versatile players.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, players that can play right wing or right back, left wing, left back, which is a useful thing to have, especially when some of our wingers aren't doing it when they come off the bench.
Let's talk about the goals. Two goals in 2 minutes, and the first one from Jota. 17 passes that led up to the goal.
Sponsored by Kleenex.
I mean, Wolves were just purring in at this moment. The one-touch passes, I feel a bit annoyed that Jota's shot wasn't also a straight shot, a one-touch shot. If you know what I mean, because he took another touch for it and then shot. If he just had that first time shot, it would have been perfect.
When you were watching that live, did you go, you ruined it, Jota, yeah. You ruined it.
Cancel the goal.
Do what you want now. I'm going home. Do what you want.
Shut him off.
But that was beautiful, wasn't it? I think Roy mentioned it a couple of weeks ago on the show, when you have to pinch yourself and go, this is actually our team. And you watch things like that and you think, this is
It was football porn, incredible. Wasn't it?
Yeah. I think someone tweeted us about it after the game, saying it reminded me of that Jack Wilshere goal for Arsenal against Norwich, where they had all the one touches. But again, that was just, it was after the last couple of games we've had, it was Wolves at their free throat flowing best, and it was good.
Well, it's the quality we've got, because we were under the cosh for the first 10 minutes. We had absolutely nothing going forward. That was our first attack, and three players, you know, that just showed their class and did it in, you know, a 17 pass move. That ended in a fantastic goal.
Jota's been directly involved in 9 goals in his last 7 goal games this season.
So many stats, Dave.
So this is what I do. The stat man.
It's because he's in the museum. He's got all the stats coming out of him now, seeping out of his pores.
What else did you think of the goal, gents? Dan and Adam, happy with it, obviously.
Well,
critical.
It's just like those moments to behold, isn't it? When you just think, well, we've had to sit some of the poor football we've had to sit through over the years, and then we're now getting served up this. It's similar to like that goal that we scored against Sheffield United last year, I think, when like Cav and Jota just pass one touch passing around. It's just, you could watch it all day. Just fantastic. The amount of, like Jake said, the quality and the class of the players we've got to create that type of goal. Amazing. Should come with an age restriction warning, that goal. Shouldn't it? Should be 18 rated.
Second goal, just a couple of minutes later, came from Jimenez. And that, as far as I can tell from his Instagrams, is this Jimenez's 100th goal as a professional footballer? Because there's so many videos with the 100. I don't think it's just the meaning of 100, if you know what I mean. It seems like he scored 100 goals. I couldn't really...
Yeah, the Twitter translator seemed to give that impression.
Yeah,
I didn't think he was that prolific a goal scorer, to be honest, before he came to us. So 100 seems surprising.
But this goal again, good build-up. Jimenez starts it all off with an
unbelievable cross. Yeah. Massively underrated cross with the outside of his right foot.
Slightly annoying that Jota isn't able to hit that first time.
What do you mean? He didn't. He passed it backwards. And
I know. But
I think it would have been difficult. Unless he could do like some sort of matrix jump in the air and stop. I don't think he could have hit it first time. But look,
imagine us scoring two goals like that and Dave's still not happy.
This is not what I wanted it to be.
I'll just think about
perfect.
When we was, I think the season we got relegated, or the season before we got relegated from the Prem, we used to kick off it, and he used to go straight back to Hennessy, and he used to just lump it direct right down the pitch from that football. Ball to the free flowing football we're playing now, you've got to pinch yourself.
Yeah, but it was like Jay just mentioned, the cutback from Jota just to give it to Jimenez, and he just slices it in.
So clever.
It's good.
He's just such a clever player. We looked worse when he came off, I think. Anyway,
so it was all made from how well Jimenez worked when he closed down Bamba. Textbook outside the right, at the right in. So nice.
Good.
Again, pawn.
Yeah,
and then a nice cutback. Well, the game's effectively over. I guess a bit too optimistic, but as it panned out, the game's effectively over then.
Jimenez and Jota work very well together because they both work incredibly hard. They both get through a lot of running. Jimenez, after an hour, was absolutely tired.
Yeah. it was good to see Sin Cara from WWE fame, of course, as well, tweeting Jimenez. Just drop that in there. Anyway, let's talk about...
Has he got a long line of affiliation with Mexican wrestlers then?
I don't know. Jimenez. The thing is, though, Sin Cara isn't on telly.
Sin Cara as a wrestler is just known as not Rey Mysterio.
He's not even on TV anymore, but I don't care. I'm going to grab that. Danny's just going. Can we move on?
I think I'm just waiting for him to pull a like Lucha Libre mask off when he scores a goal. I'll probably clap him when he does that. Until then, you're an adult, mate.
That will be the greatest day in Wolves history when that happens.
Dave will be on the pitch if that happens. Yeah. This is exactly how I imagined it would be.
And he hit it first time. Giving the ref a Hurricane Rana. Yeah.
Hey, look, he's showing the 90s.
I was a young adult then.
You can try and escape it. It's going to get you. I want to talk about some individual performances because Wolves, as I say, just continued to dominate that game. Dendonka probably obviously unlucky to hit the post, and then the follow-up shot, which was a great save from Etheridge. I thought Etheridge actually again he had a good game.
He had a stormer of a game. Yeah.
I can see Etheridge still being in the Premier League next season.
Oh yeah, he should be. He's a top keeper. He should be probably a team pushing for top 10. Mm. He's always been a decent keeper. He was last year as well.
I can't believe he used to play for Walsall.
Yeah, he was a good keeper at
Warsaw. One man who got a standing ovation when he got subbed off in the second half was Adama Traore, who started at right
wing back.
Specimen
X, we call him. Because he's just a beast, isn't he?
Yeah, started at right wing back, which obviously we were all concerned about. I think Jake was saying before the recording, he's just the new Stephen Ward, isn't he?
Yeah.
The new Mick McCarthy project.
He's the right-footed Stephen Ward.
What do we think of his performance? Because most people were saying that this was perhaps one of his best performances at Wolves so far, if not the best.
I slayed Nuno up after Huddersfield saying that he got his team wrong because he should have freshened it up. And then you saw the way that Cardiff set up yesterday. They had literally no width. They had three centre midfielders and three out-and-out strikers. He was just asking for Vinagre and Traore on those wings. Yeah. And he absolutely... I mean, if he was playing left back for Cardiff yesterday, I would have just got myself sent off early in the game to save myself an embarrassment.
Yeah, you can't stop him. Sol Bamba tried and managed to get himself injured.
You have to have two players on him or just risk getting loads of your players.
Then he just
tackling.
Knocks it past them and he's just so quick. I've never seen anyone. He doesn't do... The thing is, he doesn't do anything skillful. He just moves and they're just like, oh, he's gone. See ya.
I remember playing international track and field and just getting like a button over... Rubbing across square and circles.
That was a trick, wasn't it?
That's how Traore runs. It looks like someone's just got a control pad of him in the crowd, and that's why some of his like that shot he had in the second half. They couldn't do the pace and the shoot one.
They've got one of them, the turbo mega drive pads where you just flick the button to turbo.
Yeah.
Off you go.
That's exactly what it was.
It was funny though when Bamba tried to tackle him, and then he got injured for down shot, and then got booked as well.
Yeah, that, when he got booked,
when he's on the stretch
out, it was class.
Just to rub salt in the wounds. But the thing is though, it's not rocket science, is it? You played him in his one of the preferred positions instead of being a back to goal striker, and look what happens.
He's better out wide. As soon as he went up front, he didn't have much to offer. He's better with space to run into. I mean, he was picking it up from right back and ghosting past five or six players, but I said it in the WhatsApp chat, he's like the living embodiment of the Fire Festival because he's just all build up, no end product.
Such a relevant reference, isn't it, there?
There was obviously the reason why, you know, what he needs to work on still is the finishing. Because like he had a couple of chances yesterday. That one, that typical Adama one where he spooned it and he went off towards the corner. That was brilliant. And the one where, I'm sure, it might have been the second chance he had with the left foot shot. And Cav was running, waiting potentially for a cross. And he had that left footed shot that spanned out through a goal kick. And Cav just like pissed himself.
Yeah.
Like, brilliant.
Classic.
That's the typical Traore that is. He's done everything right, and you can see in his mind, he's thinking, I'm definitely going to have a shot here. Yeah. Like, he wind up his left foot, bang, ballooned out for a goal kick.
One man that people thought was a man of the match was Sace. 90% pass accuracy, 11 headers won, 10 clearances, all the best of the match. Sace being Sacey once again.
Dominant.
Yeah.
That's what the Casemiro of the desert.
That was a great story, that was. Yeah.
Bringing Sacey back.
Yeah. But again, and it just shows you, again, we've been concerned about the depth, but it shows you these players come in and they can do it. And it's another good performance from Sacey again.
He was just solid and dependable, wasn't he? Like I say, he didn't really put any passes wrong. He's got strong in the tackle as well. Just an assured midfield presence, really.
He's not a walking yellow card anymore. He's just all of a sudden changed to be...
Oh, he's still got one in him, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah, but you're not as worried. He's more confident and more dominant. I mean, his performance yesterday, he won everything.
I'm surprised he hasn't got as many cards as what Bennett has now, to be fair, because he's always got one in him.
So Bennett's now suspended, isn't he, for how many games is it now? Is it
two? I thought But cup games included?
Yeah. Apparently the cup, the rules change every day, don't they?
I didn't get that.
The next two league games he's out for, so we'll be back for Man United.
Right, okay.
Which is a positive. Because we're safe now, aren't we, Dave?
I think we're safe now.
He said it! Noted date and time.
Book the open top bus, we're safe.
Well,
Dave, you've jinxed it now.
I was just as we were recording, I was just checking the Twitter, and it looks like Watford had won their game against Leicester, which means that the battle for seventh is really between the W's now, isn't it? Look at the table, it only separates by two goals. That is what separates Wolves and Watford.
That Watford away game is going to be massive.
I was saying to Jake before that game is literally the battle for the winner gets seventh place trophy.
It'd be a 0-0 draw.
Yeah.
we're still seventh on goal difference.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's where we are. It's two goals though that is the difference that keeps us above. We'll go six points
behind Chelsea. We'll beat them next Sunday.
This is going to get so out of date.
Spot is on.
I'm going to talk about another person who came in and had a good performance for Nagra.
Absolutely bloody great, that kid is. If we've paid €2 million for that kid, we need to be investigated.
No, we don't.
He was so good yesterday.
On the Match of the Day commentary, they were calling him Vinegar. And I was like, no, it's Vinegar.
Is it? Do we know that for sure?
Needs clarification. As long as you don't say Vinaigrette, you're fine.
But again, he came in, another good performance.
The only thing was missing was a goal from him yesterday.
Yeah.
And he would have been in his team of the week.
Did anyone see Bolly go absolutely mental at him when we came back to defend a corner because he just kept bombing forward? I think he came back to defend a corner, and I just remember Bolly going mental at him in whatever language and pointing forward and being angry.
He
deserved a goal. He was brilliant. It was a standard, you know, young, sprightly 19-year-old performance that just was desperate to get forward.
He had that chance in the second half, didn't he?
He
had the one that Everidge was a great save. Well, both of them. The second one was a brilliant save.
The second one was a brilliant save.
I just want to see Vinagre do his Ronaldo celebration again, like he did against Burton last season.
I just want him to skill someone like he did Carl Walker last season in the cup.
Oh, that was unbelievable. And then brought in a Bakari and missed about four chances. And he's scoring for Coventry now.
He's found his level up.
His second shot was amazing. So he bombed on nearly the full length of the pitch.
He wasn't
he,
even,
you know what, he just thought,
didn't
I'm
even look like he wanted to pass it.
And fair play to Everidge. Reaction save. It was a good save. But it would have been great.
He had no intention of passing that ball.
Oh, no.
Other notable performances from yesterday, everybody. Anybody else, apart from the obvious ones of Saito Vinagre and Chore, stand out for you yesterday?
I did enjoy Matinho's run for the corner and the two waves to the safe bank. That was a highlight.
That was your highlight.
I love it when he raises his hands. It's just like a nonchalant, I know I'm great, but I appreciate you singing my name anyway. You don't need to.
Thank you, peasants. I'm great.
What was weird, there was a sub first minute in the second half, the team come out as you were, and then Jota, after 46 minutes, right, Jota.
Psychological.
Off you come.
Mind games.
It's mind games flying about.
Yeah.
I just thought that's a bit weird, isn't it? So you go through all the motion, half-time team talk.
We're
going to baffle them now by bringing you off a minute into the second half.
Stop the rhythm, McCardiff had. So what do you think? I don't know, there was no sense. Apparently, he ain't injured, so it sounds like he's tried to run something off and they've pulled him off.
What do we?
Unless he meant to make so much pulling off there.
Unless he meant to make the sub at half time, then saw Jota come out and he went, "Oh shit!"
you were meant to come off.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
What did we think of Bennett's potential second yellow?
If he wasn't on a yellow, he would have got a yellow. It's not a second yellow.
If it was against Wolves, I'd have been seething.
Oh yeah, if it was against us, it's a straight red. But
that's what I mean. Neutral, rose tinted glasses off. Is that another yellow card?
Probably.
Okay. I think if the game's nil-nil, he stays on. In a normal game, but I think the fact that it was 2-0, I would have thought he would have sent him off just to try and even it up a little bit.
Do you reckon it was good refereeing?
He goes, right,
do you know what? Actually think the referee was a brilliant game.
Do you know what? That was a bit silly. You've not long got a yellow before. I'm going to give you a final warning.
Yeah.
And he said that it was trouble complete, didn't he? I didn't think he had another foul after that.
No.
He kept his period clean or whatever the phrase
is. That's the best refereeing performance I've seen at Molyneux this year. There was only one decision that I thought he got wrong, but the rest of the game I thought he had a great game. Can we have him every week, because some of the other ones are awful,
terrible.
Yeah,
and we've got a bit of pyro back as well pre-game.
Got the
flames back.
I missed it. I was trying to get into the Steve Ball stand.
That's a problem right there.
Yeah.
the only way to keep warm on a match day, isn't it, just when you feel that heat.
Yeah.
But your hands up. Oh, there we go, warm again. A champagne man of the match, gentlemen. for Wolves 2, Cardiff City 0. Who are you going to doff your caviar and give you a bottle of Prosecco Wolves to? Jake?
Sice. Yeah, brilliant game.
Sice with one.
Ruben.
Vinagre.
Absolutely brilliant. 10 out of 10. No, not 8 out of 10 because didn't score.
Adam, who are you going for?
Yeah, I'll have to say Sice as well, just because he slotted in so effortlessly into the middle of the park and then just didn't put a foot wrong at all. But Vinagre, definitely close, very close second.
Good.
Because he's been even longer at the team, and he's, again, just the game just suited him. Just suited him yesterday. But yeah. Give it to Sice.
I'll give it to Sice as well. And gents, the battle for seventh continues.
It's good. This time it's personal.
Right, okay, we're gonna talk about Chelsea, we're gonna do the quiz, and we'll do Twitter Corner after this.
Answer me this. How long have you had that mattress? Because it's looking even lumpier than my lockdown love handles. And while those might be more cuddly, a lumpy mattress is doing nothing for your comfort levels or your sleep. So whatever body you're rocking, put it on a Nectar mattress. Prices start at just $499, and you get $399 in accessories thrown in. That includes a Nectar mattress, mattress protector, cooling pillows and sheet set, a 365-night home trial, and a forever warranty. Go to NectarSleep.com and get hugged.
Welcome back to the podcast. Just a quick shout out to our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media. Go check them out at pixelyetimedia.com. Web design, brochures, graphic design, go check them out at pixelyetimedia.com. We are recording this podcast right now on Sunday afternoon in the Wolves Museum. It's in the heart of the North Bank, and it is a great place to explore the rich history of our club. And there's so much that's on here. I mean, this is probably the second or third time I've been here now recording the show, and it gets more impressive every time you come, because there's little bits you realise you didn't see before, and it kind of takes you back about how much depth of history there is to our club. So we're going to talk about some of the key points that we found when we've gone through around the museum, not just today but also in previous times before. Gents, we all had a little walk about before. Anything kind of stands out for you firstly?
I mean, me as a young person / child,
Can you just point out when your footballing knowledge started before we recorded?
Okay, I started really following football about 2008, 2009, when I first got a season ticket.
That's just not right,
shocking,
is it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
shocking.
I'm young. I apologise.
I remember, was it Ross Barkley saying his first World Cup memory was when Lampard hit the disallowed goal in 2010 World Cup?
I mean, I don't want to agree with him, but probably same.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's not right.
I lost my virginity before then. That's how old I am. I ain't like old. I'm just old.
Anyway, Jake, sorry.
So
back
yeah,
on
as a fetus, apparently. Well, my highlight of the museum was the area where you can beat the keeper and do fitness tests. I'm not a particularly fit man myself, but they make it fun. Really good kid zone.
It's different keepers as well, to keep us through the ages.
Yeah,
well,
so
it?
You've got like... I mean, Hennessy, Akimi, Matt Murray, and people long before I was born. So it's a really fun experience if you're just looking for something fun to do.
Dan, particular highlights for you?
Going back to that bit, there was a child of the age of 6 or 7 who absolutely walloped past one Bert Williams when we were watching earlier.
Yeah, it was a great finish.
I thought he was going to do like some sort of Robbie Keane celebration. He was loving it, the kid was. If you've got kids, bring them down purely for that.
Yeah.
And just, we're massive, aren't we? You look at all the trophies and memorabilia you've got around here. We're bastard massive. And you best got market on a Sunday. Get your family down here.
Okay, apart from that kid beating Bert Williams from the spot, Dan.
Yeah.
Any particular bits from you that you've been really impressed with here?
Just the memorabilia and all the trophies and just all the history that we've got.
Adam, particular highlights for you?
Well, I mean, it's important to know that because we're growing as a club massively, we're picking up new fans all the time. It's good to come down here and see, you know, how the club was born and what we've done throughout the years. And so you've got all the good stuff about, you know, from when we formed St Luke's all the way through the decades and all the stuff we've won. We've got so much cup final stuff here, like Bill Slater stuff, because he's obviously recently passed away. There's a whole section dedicated to him, cup final shirts that he wore. I'll get my words out properly. Bully's obviously got his collection there, and all his stuff is here. celebrating their European history. So the Honved, collections, and Schalke, their first European match. So all that's down there. So it's good for, you know, any potential younger fans to get an idea of how steeped in history and all that, all that good stuff.
There's even a story kind of near the start from the 50s. I never knew until I first came here, but in the 50s, about how we with some other teams sent over teams to America to compete in like a really
LA
weird...
LA Wolves, weren't we?
Yeah, LA Wolves. And did we won it, didn't we, from what I remember?
I think so.
But the fact that
we could find out.
Yeah, but the fact that that even happened and all the history behind that, when I learned that, I was like, what? Like, and then you go away and find out
and
more
about
it. And
it's good, though, because obviously we celebrate all the stuff, but we've actually even got a bit to our decline. So there's the 80s and the Batties. There's a section purely for that as well. So it's good for people to understand how close we were to actually not existing in the 80s and celebrating the fact, you know, that, yeah, we've got a nice new John Ireland Stadium, but it nearly bankrupted us as a club. So it's great that we also, in inverted commas, celebrating or highlighting our darker periods and then leading through to, you know, the stuff of today, the players of today and potentially the players of tomorrow. Such a great place, and it's recognised as being like one of the best in class, the best museums in the country you can come to. So why wouldn't you come? Why wouldn't any Wolves fan want to come down? They've on TripAdvisor, you can see here that they've got regular 5-star ratings. Whoever does come down here and experiences what's here, absolutely love it. Clearly. And they've only got good things to say.
There's lots of, like you said, there's lots of interactivity as well. It's not just kind of walking around and looking at pictures and look at memorabilia. Like Dan mentioned, there's a lot of stuff the kids do with interactivity. There's things where you can record your own commentary things as well. From what I spotted as well.
Post-match interviews.
There's stuff about Prozone as well with the analytics and the stats as well. And like you mentioned before, there's almost like a little cinema room which goes through recent history, but like you said, that they talk about when we got relegated to League One with Dean Saunders.
Yeah, it's a real roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, they're not shirking away from the dark side of the history
and
of the
club. Right, that's right. Yeah.
It just shows we're a proper club, aren't we? Highs and lows. We've had it all here.
Exactly.
That's what a museum's all about. You don't want to just see the good stuff. You want to see the Wolves getting beat at Chillingham 1-0 and stuff like that.
But it's the stuff that makes you appreciate today, isn't it?
Yeah.
If people who've been through the 80s and even more recently the League One stuff, it just makes you again appreciate what we're doing right now so much more. And it's all here, it's all referenced in the museum.
We're not saying it because we're here talking, but this is actually a great place
really
to come
is.
And spend a couple of hours around and experience what the history of the club, learn a bit more, and it's really good.
They update it regularly as well. They've got new exhibitions and stuff out now so that people who've been before can come and see new things, which is great.
Is it going to be like a dedication to the people who went to Chorley away? Is that what they're talking about?
There has to be some sort of section to that. I'm sure they're building a loyalty points area for coming in next season. There has to be.
Anyone that did 10K to MK gets...
Where's the Bjorn Sigurdarson collection?
Well, I'm waiting for it. I'm building up my own personal collection, and then I might just donate it here. Just a recommendation from us: if you're in the city for a game, or if you're in the city in general, for a couple of hours to spend, check out the museum because it is really good. We would heartily recommend it.
Staff are great as well. So really knowledgeable staff are on hand here. So
I thought
five
we
stars,
were nerds.
Recommend to a friend.
I thought we were nerds until the what was going on? Pete, was it?
Yeah, Pete.
Pete would completely blew me away with that score line. Wolf shirts. There's only two Wolf shirts in the
room. Real knowledge.
I thought I was a nerd, but wow.
Right, we're going to move on to the game next Sunday, or this Sunday as when you're listening. Chelsea away, 2:05 kickoff. I hate these real weirdly specific times. I know it's to deal with the next kickoff, but still. 5:05. Yeah. That'll be the new advert.
That was the advert.
I know, but they'll do it for us this time.
Hopefully. They're going to do 5:08 the cup game as well.
So Chelsea away. Last time out at Molineux, Wolves ended a bit of the only real bad run we've had so far this season at Molineux with a 2-1 win with Jimenez and Jota getting on the scoreline. Chelsea, as of recording today, are playing Fulham at home, but you would presume that Chelsea will win their game. They're pushing for a top four finish. So it could just be another big game for them, gentlemen, there with Man United and Arsenal pushing for that fourth place, potentially third, depending on how Spurs get on. Before we get on to Chelsea a bit, I want to ask your opinions on the Kepa situation. Could be left out again today. I don't know, obviously, as of recording for Fulham. What did you make of the Carabao Cup final incident, and would you be continuing to drop him, or can you not drop the £70 million goalkeeper?
He's playing, just so you know.
Oh.
He has started.
Cut out that last segment. Okay, well, it still doesn't matter. Would you have still dropped him for the rest of the season? What did you make of that whole instance?
Not the rest of the season. He's £70 million, and he's a keeper that they brought for a reason. But the whole situation was just shambolic. You'd never see that happen with Nuno, ever, because the players have just... You can see the players have got respect for him, and you could see in that game that none of the players had any respect for him. Aspilicueta, the captain, said that he didn't see it happen, or that he wasn't... He was meant to be leading that. He was meant to be the captain. Connor Cody would have dragged John Ruddy off if he was getting subbed off. Well, he wouldn't have had to, because John Ruddy would have come off and high-fived every single player, because the players have got more respect. It was embarrassing. Shambles day.
Yeah, it was just diabolical from start to finish, wasn't it? I don't know whether Kepa was actually injured, whether he was wasting time, but once your number goes up on that board, get your ass off the pitch. I thought it would have been a good mind game to play with Caballero. Yeah. He won the penalty shootout for Man City in the League Cup the other season for him. So seeing that sort of player you've trained in day in, day out, come on. Going into penalty shootout.
Company even mentioned, didn't he? And after it all settled down, he says, it would have been a bit harder for us if Caballero was in goal, because he knows how we take penalties he used to play for us, and like I say, he won it before.
It felt like a bit of a Van Gaal 2014 World Cup tactic, didn't he? Didn't he do the same in the was it the third place playoff game?
He took Tim Krul off, I think.
Yeah, and it worked.
Yeah,
it's a difficult one for the club, because I mean, like, you've got he did cost £72 million, so you can't just chuck him into the reserves for the rest of the season, because that's your investment down the pan. But you can't have that blatant insubordination, basically, on worldwide audience. It just completely undermines Sarri. But then again, he probably won't even be here in the summer anyway. If you're the club, you probably stick on Kepa's side than Sarri's side, because he's going to go anywhere.
Well, with Chelsea, it's happened before where the players have pushed the manager out. It happened with Mourinho, and Mourinho's,
Not just with Mourinho, Villas-Boas, Mourinho's second time, he said, it was after that.
Yeah, the players can, band together and go against the manager, and it could happen with Sarri, which is a shame.
I think it will happen with Sarri.
With Wolves and Patricio, we know he's back in the squad for that game. Do Wolves revert to what I would class as the typical starting 11 that we've seen recent weeks? Do the players from Saturday now get a shoe in? Does he place all tactical? I know it's still a week to go really now, but how do people see it going formation wise next Sunday?
I can see Neves coming back in and Moutinho, just because I think when we're going to be counter-attacking, you need a player like Neves that can pick that pass, like we did against Leicester, where he just picked that 70-yarder to pick out Jota on the counter-attack. Mm. Full-backs, although Vinagre did very well, I feel like defensively, Johnny and Doherty just are the safer options, especially for a team like Chelsea. So I think he'll revert back, which is a shame, because the players that came in, as we said, did very well. Obviously one player would have to drop into Bennett's role, so that would be Sice or Dendonka, so one of them, if both of them will probably play. So full back changes and Neves to come back in. I think
I keep Vinagre in for next weekend. I thought he had a really good game in the arm game against Chelsea as well. I thought he was my man of the match yesterday, so I don't see how you can drop him, really.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I just think, from a sensible head, I think defensively, Johnny's just a bit better, because Vinagre was getting forward a lot, and I think that's why he's...
Oh, no, I'd personally bring Johnny in at right wing back and then keep Vinagre left wing back against Chelsea.
You wouldn't play Doherty?
No. No, I wouldn't. You can call me out on that one next
week. No, I agree with you, Dan, because at the start of the season, I thought he was one of our weak spots, because I do think he gets too far forward as well. But I think the way he's played this season, it would be harsh to do so, because I think he's had a good season. He's been an underrated
player.
Tough
one, that one is. The right, it is a tough one, position. Yeah. Well, you ain't going to play Adama there, is he, against Chelsea?
No, the fullback positions are hard, but he's not played Johnny at right back very often. I would agree with you. He's a right-footed player. I think he's a good right back. I think going forward, if our fullbacks were Vinagre and Johnny, I'd be happy. But I just think, in terms of form this season and who's been playing well, I think Johnny and Doherty are the safe options.
Oh, so we're safe now, weren't we? So yeah. I personally keep Vinagre, because I thought he'd done well enough to justify starting again next week.
I think what we would do and what Nuno is going to do obviously would vastly differ. I mean, we would like to keep Traore in because of how exciting he is, because unfortunately any given week with our 3-5-2, there's no real place for him as such, because he's a winger with a 3-5-2, play wing backs, and that's normally Doherty, isn't it? So but I think some of the players will come back in. I definitely think Johnny will come back in. I would also say Neves will come back in as well, so I think it kind of revert. I think he probably will revert back to type. it's only until we start playing like the 3-4-3 again, you'll probably see Traore play more often. But as it is with Jota and Jimenez up front, I think the fans will want to see more Traore, but it's not going to happen in that formation. But
if we keep the same formation as we do now for the next few years, would you rather see Traore as a striker or a right back?
Right back.
Question for the table.
Right back.
I stick him. Yeah, keep him on the. Keep him as a wing. Keep him where we know he's best.
Out wide, where he can put crosses in.
Yeah. I know he said himself, hasn't he, Traore, that Nuno wants him to sort of retrain as a striker. He sees him as that's a role for him.
But he didn't have a pre-season with us. As next season, you'll see whether Traore is a Wolves player or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, potentially.
Nuno could throw a what's the saying? Throw a spanner in the works, but in a good way. He might bring Kilman in at right centre back next week and keep the centre midfield the same.
It's Chelsea's one of these games which suits Wolves really well, especially away from home. We can then sit deep and go on the counter, and also we know what our record is like against the top four sides or top six sides this season. So you go into it thinking Wolves can still get a result here. You know, Chelsea obviously are pushing for that top four, and they are at home. But you kind of feel like, knowing Wolves, results easy possible still.
They won't want to play us.
Have they got Europa next week?
Makes sense if it's a Sunday game. Danny's going to double check that.
And Chelsea are beating Fulham 1-0.
Ah.
Who scored?
Kepa.
Time travel.
Kepa goal and Kepa assist. No, it's Higuain who scored.
But
if you
want to
keep
there.
Talking, I'll find out whether
I think it's again to suit us, because I would argue we're essentially in a counter attacking team, really, where we've. So we can't score goals against. Can't score goals against. A team who sets up to defend against us, but we definitely struggle more.
Yeah,
I didn't have that problem yesterday, but I mean, we tend over the season to struggle more against a team who sets up deep against us. So to have a team against Chelsea who will come at us and we can counter attack.
The top six sides only care about what they do, don't they? Whereas teams like Huddersfield, they're able to nullify us. That's why I think we'll play into our hands. One guy said to me yesterday at the ground that he thinks we'll win 3-1 next weekend. I personally don't agree with that, but I could see us getting a result there.
Bathe his feet if we're right, because they're the new messiahs right there. They are playing Europa League Thursday. Dan just silently confirmed that for
Unfortunately, they're at home. It would have been better if they were travelling to Moscow on Thursday than us on the Sunday.
Lads, all I'm saying is we might have to be putting up with this next season.
Krasnodar away.
Yeah, your Thursday night away games.
Could be finding those business class flights to Moscow.
We're going to do the quiz with Dan in a second. Dan's going to go get that ready, of course. Jake, I'm looking forward
still
to this.
Still waiting for that first point. I was absolutely robbed the last time I was on, because I was like, 10 days away from an exact answer. On how long ago I can't
Fulham have equalised.
Oh,
obviously this is not going out live, but purely to show where we are in life at this moment. Fulham have equalised.
We're going to do the quiz in a second. Let's do predictions. It's still 7 days away as of recording for Chelsea away in the league. Will Wolves be still retaining that seventh place come tea time next Sunday? Jake, what will be the score in your mind?
Two each.
Adam?
0-1 to the Wolves.
Oh, 0-1 to the Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Yes.
Dan?
I was going to get 0-1 Wolves as well. I'm going 0-1 Wolves.
Just go for it, Dan.
0-1 Wolves.
1-0.
With the 0-1 Wolves, both of you have obviously got a scorer in mind there. Who scores the winner?
Ball.
Bob Taylor. Header from a corner.
Jota.
Yeah, I was thinking Jota. Get a similar mindset to that we have.
We'll share a bet on this. Yes. You agree with like Sky Bet, all the Paddy Power, so we'll get the best odds.
I'm not allowed to bet Sky Bet.
Bang.
Let's do the weekly quiz, everybody. Dan has the quiz. Dan is the quiz master. Once again, play along at home at WDFC Fancast on Twitter. We do now actually get people telling us how they get on the quiz, and people don't seem to be getting any answers. So
you brought the whiteboards with you?
Oh, no, I haven't. No.
Oh, I'm going to have to trust you then, guys.
Okay.
Can we just use that? Just type out the answer on our phones and turn it around. Don't the whiteboard in.
Okay, let's get notes out. Or
get the Apple notes out. Or
the applicable.
If you don't have an Apple phone, losers.
Or the applicable Android version.
So there's 9 points to get on this quiz, just FYI.
I can tell you how many I'm going to get now.
Can we have a prediction of how many points Jake will get in the quiz? Adam.
Is that the tiebreaker, by the way? Oh, what? This is the tiebreaker question already.
This is
yeah, get out early. It's going to be between you two. So
do you like pop punk?
Pop punk, potentially. We'll see.
Okay, I'm going to put it 1 point.
1 point. I think Jake's going to get 2 points.
I think he'll surprise you and get 2 points.
Two points.
I mean, I'll tell you, you're all wrong.
Okay. Are we going to do this thing where we type the answer out, but then we delete it afterwards, so we don't have lines and lines of answers?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a modern day equivalent of a whiteboard and pen.
Dan, over to yourself.
Wolves lost 1-0 away to Chelsea in the 1994...
I was minus 2 years old.
FA Cup quarter-final. But in that year's FA Cup final, name the two players with Wolves connections.
Right, okay.
Two players in Chelsea's team with Wolves connections.
No, in the FA Cup final, there were two teams.
Right.
Name the two Wolves players.
Hang on.
They had 94? Yeah.
Yep, okay, right, here we go then.
Oh, okay, I'll give you a clue.
No.
What could I do with that, Dave?
Because I'm trying to wing Jake into it, to be fair.
I might actually be right for once.
Okay.
I'm going to be completely wrong here.
There
was two players in the FA Cup final squads with Wolves connections.
Oh my god. This is wrong.
Chelsea 2-1.
Oh. Time travel, I'm telling you. That's what it is. Anyway, so are we all.
Dave was looking towards Dave Wagstaff then. He wasn't one of those, Dave, I'm afraid.
Just reading out, yeah. Affectionately known as Waggy, an out-and-out wide player referred to as the best uncapped English winger in his heyday, and still a fan's favourite for so many of his generation.
Adam still.
This is wrong.
I think we are ready. So I'll come to Jake first.
Jake?
Jake has gone for Johnny Pass. That's unlucky.
I've gone for Tony Daly and Paul Ince.
Okay, Adam?
I've just gone for Sedgley and Atkins. I've no idea.
Okay, so the FA Cup final in 1994 was Chelsea versus Man United.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Villa.
The correct answers was Paul Ince, for Dave Steele's 1 point, and the other one was Glenn Hoddle, who was player-manager for Chelsea in that squad.
For some reason, I was thinking of the League Cup final between Villa and Man United. Was it Villa and Man United?
Maybe, yeah.
I was thinking of that for some reason. Anyway, I've got a point. Hey.
So Dave has 1 point.
Romps into the lead.
Question two.
He sets up to defend now. So he gets his goal and he's going to shut up shop now.
Here we go. September 2012. Come on, Jack. I've thrown the door open for you. In September 2012, Wolves lost 6-0 away to Chelsea in the League Cup third round. Who played in goal for us that day?
2012.
I'm confident with this one.
Do you remember Mike Stoll, Jake?
No.
Bloody.
He was my hero as a kid, he was.
He's my second favourite player behind Ball.
Have you had a guess, Jake? No?
Yeah. Somewhat.
Everyone
educated.
In?
Right, okay.
Cards on the table.
Adam first.
Adam first, yeah. Go on, Adam.
Doris. De Vries.
I have also gone for De Vries.
As have I.
Jake has got 1 point.
Wow, well done, Jake.
2-1-1.
Here we go.
Former Chelsea and Wolves player Michael Mancien. Oof. Currently plays for what club?
I don't know if this is right, but I'm going to just pop it down anyway. I know he played for this club.
I do as well.
I think he might have moved.
Our answer's locked.
Yeah, locked.
Jack, is it me to go first?
I'll go you first, Dave.
Nottingham Forest.
I've also been
Nottingham Forest.
Unfortunately, gents, he's left Nottingham Forest and now plays for the New England Revolution.
Okay.
Of course.
In this season's fixture, when we beat Chelsea 2-1 at home, how many bookings were there in the game?
Jeez. Okay.
Cast your minds back.
Let me just get into my mind palace and rewatch that game.
I guess.
Okay.
Everyone locked. Jake first.
Six.
Dave.
Four.
Adam.
Three.
The correct answer was 8.
Oh.
Closest answer gets a point. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah!
Well, quizmaster rules. So Jake is on 2.
I think if that had been Stu or Gully, then I wouldn't have allowed nearest answer.
So it's 2-2-1.
2-2-1. On March the 3rd,
Jake's
2007,
now.
So 12 years ago today, Wolves ran out 3-2 winners away at Luton Town. Name our three scorers that day.
What year, sorry?
2007.
Sorry, I thought this was a Wolves-Chelsea quiz.
I have to switch up towards the end.
Name our three scores.
2007.
Yeah.
This is where there's a lull in the podcast for a minute.
Yeah.
While we all just type out three scorers.
Derek Parkin, Mr. Consistency, who was affectionately known as Squeak, and was in this week's podcast, if you remember correctly, achieved a record 609 first team appearances in his 14 years at Molineux and was twice a Wembley winner.
Museum of Fact.
Well, I'll put him in the quickness. Autocorrect has changed some of the names, but I know who it is.
So I think Adam is first on this
Adam
one.
Adam first. Right, you, so name me your three Wolves heroes.
It says Kamal Johnson. It's autocorrect. I said Jamal Johnson.
Okay.
Dave Edwards and Michael Lightley. Kiteley.
Okay. I've gone for Eastwood, Keogh and Collins.
Okay.
I've gone for Craddock, Kiteley and Breen.
So the only person who was managed to score 1 point there is Dave with Keogh.
Yes.
The other two scorers were Gary Breen.
What?
Oh, did you have Gary Breen? Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that. Sorry, I misheard.
Sorry to skew you a point there.
He went to VAR with that one.
Overruled. Okay, so you have got 1 point. And the other scorer was Carl Henry.
So 3-3-1. Jake here.
Get it.
Jake's on for one here.
Jake could be getting his first victory of the season.
No, I'm telling you now.
I'm going to need like an on-the-spot tiebreaker if you two don't get this right.
Here we go.
Which member of pop-punk band Blink-182 is supposedly a Chelsea fan?
I'm going to have to guess this.
No idea.
I asked you if you like pop-punk and you told me yes.
I didn't realise I was going to know every member of Blink-182.
There's only three.
All three of them. Don't know.
Okay.
The one left.
Okay, Dave, I'm coming to you first.
I'm guessing Mark Hoppus.
Adam? I've also gone for Mark Hoppus.
I've gone for Johnny Pass.
This week's winner is Dave, who corrects with Mark Hoppus.
Yes! So, I need to check with Stu, but I've got a feeling there that once again I've caught it with Stu as joint leader of the board, despite the fact that I do the quiz nearly every week.
I think you might be... Did he have a two-point lead, Stu? Are you one behind him now? We'll find out.
We'll find out. I think he had a 3-point, but anyway, we'll find out. But thank you very much, Dan. Good quiz once again. I'm going to get the phone once again out because it is time for Twitter/Facebook Corner, everybody. People, you're sending your questions in at WFC Fancast on Twitter. Facebook, find us on Wolves Fancast. You can email us in, which is simply podcast@wolvesfancast.com. I have liked some tweets, gentlemen, so I will now go on the like section of the Wolves Fancast page.
And I didn't know there was a likes section.
There is.
Do I have that? Does
everybody
have that?
Has that. Everyone. Okay. If you go on your profile,
I need to look
right
up likes.
Yeah, go back about 5 years.
Could have been something nefarious.
I've got a starter question before you get them up.
Here we go.
What's each member's most treasured piece of Wolves memorabilia?
Oof.
Mine is probably my seat from the North Bank. The old North Bank, not the new one.
Like the plastic seat, you mean?
Yeah.
This will make Dave jealous. A T-shirt thrown to me by Bjorn Sigurdardsson.
Can I just have it to smell and then...
Preston away when they're celebrating the 125 years of Football League or something like that. You threw what I caught it. It's actually not. I've got an autograph book from the... when I went to the training ground, they got autographs from like 2003. It's got such club legends as Isaac Okoronkwo in there and Henry Kamara.
Very nice. I don't think I've actually...
And Paul Jones.
I've not got any sort of... I don't think I've got
anything.
I've got like the... I don't know, I think it was like the 94-95 season review on VHS where it's like the white and black background with John DeWolf scoring his hat-trick at Port Vale. That's still a special place in the house.
I honestly don't think I've actually got anything. That's really sad.
My best friend, when we did the pitch invasion after we won League One, managed to nab Bakary Sacco's glove. Just started taking it off his hand, looked Bakary Sacco in the eye, Sacco nodded at him and he just slid it off his hand.
So basically,
just the one glove.
Sacco left the pitch like Michael Jackson just wearing one glove.
I want to know what Bakary Sacco's look is. What do you mean? When you say give him the look?
Just sort of eye contact where he just sort of nodded and he just went,
go on then.
Yep. Off you go.
We start off with Brett's usual weekly question. If you could replace all of the grass in the world with something else, what would it be?
Blancmange.
How do you mow blancmange? You probably can't, can you?
You wouldn't. You just enjoy it for what it is.
Just scoop it up. People in parks just... making blancmange angels. Dan's in real deep thought here. What would
you know me and these sort of questions, they don't tend to go hand in hand very well. I'm just going to go with AstroTurf.
Yeah, but you get all those little black bits in your shoes everywhere.
What are we going to do with football then, Dave? Play on pavement?
Yeah,
football on blancmange.
What Dan's done right there is just basically made redundant all ground staff up and down the country.
And
anyone who has a lawnmower company.
Pavement podcast football, we'll have to start one of those. Yeah.
That's what you should do when you're a kid, play in the street.
Yeah, I agree, but to be honest,
You'd have to wear wear like knee pads.
The amount of footballers earn nowadays, they should be able to play in any condition. Yeah. Any condition.
Any condition.
Fire.
A fire match, yeah. Jake, what ice. Would you replace grass with?
Ice, reverse, ice. All of the damage we've done to the world.
Okay.
Such a millennial, you snowflake.
that interestingly leads on to another question we'll have in a second. Paul Upton, should we qualify for Europa League? Do you think we're going to need a much bigger squad?
Yeah.
Ideally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things are Nuno, obviously, he likes a smaller squad, doesn't he? Which, understandably, because he can work with players individually better. But usually, if we are lucky enough to get Europe next season, you need a bit of a bigger squad than what we've got, surely.
Our squad of 8 senior players is not quite going to do it, is it? 18.
I was going to say 8.
Well, we've sent a lot of players out to Jamila, and like Conor Ronan's playing in Slovakia, so they're getting used to European football. They can be brought in for the Thursday night to Azerbaijan United or wherever.
Karabag.
Krasnodar.
Okay, so Ben Woodall, are Sais and Vinagre better options than Johnny and Donk right now?
There's an argument.
He's got excited there after watching the Mad Wonga game yesterday. he's got excited and pardon that. I wouldn't say
that's my good friend Ben, that is. And he's what's his Twitter title? Too Frost, Too Furious after an incident outside the Mount Hotel, which is will come to another time. Sorry, carry on.
No, didn't say. I don't agree.
Anyone else? Sais and Vinagre are better.
Vinagre is, yes. At this moment in time, because I think the two wing backs may have become a little, maybe not leggy, maybe complacent, with not much competition. But we're at that time of season now where they all have to be ready to play, and I think they are ready to play. Whether they're a better option, I think they are ready to play from the start.
Yeah, as I said, it's an argument. It's subjective with Vinagre and Johnny, because it's whether you want someone to be more attacking or more defensive, and Johnny's more defensive.
Yeah, it's subjective,
Vinagre's got more going forward.
Depends on who you
play. Depends who you play and what you want to play.
Yeah, yeah.
So which one do you play against Man United then?
I'd play Johnny, because I'd be a little bit more conserved. But because the thing is, we're going to hit him on the break with Jota and Jimenez anyway. And they've done it before, you know, like as we did against Leicester. I think that's the exact way we need to be playing against like the Man United and stuff, because I think that suits us. Because we've got, you know, players that are like the quarterback almost, like with Neves, Cody, that can just ping it out wide, get us into space and get us up the pitch.
Yeah.
Another question from Graham Cove, which links back to Jake's answer before. In another space-time continuum, I'm just wondering where Dan's going to interpret this question. In another space-time continuum, where Earth exists, but everything is opposite, what would be the strangest thing? So, Earth exists, but everything that we know of is opposite.
Wolves play in blue. And always have.
That would be the strangest thing.
Yeah, in the world, ever.
TVs watch
not,
us.
Not the fact that not the fact that dogs walk us.
Yeah.
Instead,
that's Black Mirror stuff there from Dan. Watering.
Does that mean work comes to us? We don't get to work.
Could be, yeah.
This is a very. I wonder what he's on when he asks this question.
This is a very deep question.
Apart from on Twitter.
Birds. We have to regurgitate food, like we eat food to stay alive. I don't know how that would work, but
that's weird. So food will form in us, and we have to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is
drinking
deep,
alcohol
man.
Sobers
is,
you up.
This is deep.
Drinking sobers you up, yeah. So water would actually get you drunk.
Yeah, no, just not drinking, you're just smashed all the time.
You have to constantly drink beer. That's a world that
constantly
I
constantly drink like to remain sober. Yeah. As sober as you can.
It's a deep one. Which
that's
one
a really deep question. Yeah. To be fair, that's a 3 o'clock in someone's kitchen conversation.
This isn't a Sunday at 10 to 3 conversation. I've not had enough to drink for.
Daz UK85, do you think the patience with Traore is starting to pay off? There were some murmurings early in the season, but he seems to be slowly setting in as a good option. We kind of talked about Traore before, didn't we? Still perhaps still more to prove from him.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a work in progress, and I think we've said on this podcast before the fact, you know, if he had them products, he might be a team higher up the food chain than Wolves. But that's Ed coach's job now, is to build that into his game, and then when he has got quality and consistent end product, then we're going to have a hell of a player on our hands. But I think it's just using him right. I know some people were a bit upset he didn't come on against Huddersfield, and I'm sure Nuno's got his reasons as to why he didn't come on, but as time goes on with him, we should, and probably next season we'll see exactly, you know, the full extent of what he can offer us.
I think judging this time next season, once he's had a full pre-season under Nuno, then
what's great about Traore is that you can't teach what he's already got, but you can teach what he needs. He needs end product, he needs, you know, and through practice he can get that, but you can't teach his electric pace.
Final question on Twitter corner this week. Lynx Wolf says, who comes in for Bennett?
Dendonker.
You put Dendonker at the back?
Yeah, because he won't play. I feel like putting Sice there, a left-footed, right-sided centre-back, just doesn't quite fit. I feel like Dendonker dropping in as a... It allows then you can have Neves, Moutinho, Sice in the middle. It could be one of them, which personally I would go with Dendonker.
I think I'd be going for Sice. He's proven it there, still he can do it.
I think Sice is better in midfield because he will allow Neves to play. Because I think Dendonker does have a tendency to drift forward occasionally, which means that Neves has to drop in deeper.
I guess you've not played Dendonker in that position before, but I guess we're in a position now where we can try that out
a bit. Did we play him in his first game for us in a cup game?
Yeah, it was against Leicester, but didn't he play the back, didn't he? Yeah. Anyone else?
We haven't tried. Bolly is right centre-back and Sice left centre-back.
He doesn't like that though, does he? Because Bolly's good cutting inside, and I mean, he started the move for the first goal. Yeah. I suppose it's quite difficult when you're playing in a back three to shift across. You'd have to change quite large parts of his game. I suppose Nuno probably wouldn't want to mess too much with the status quo of the back five, especially how the back three has barely changed all season, if at all.
Should never let Danny Back go.
It's time for some futsal. It's time to bring Max Kilman in.
Yeah, the greatest name in football, Max Kilman.
Max Kilman and Max Power.
Yeah. What a day that will be when they're both in the same team. Gentlemen, anyone else would you, or is it Sais or Dendonker for you, or anyone else?
I think for me, I wouldn't want to mess with the good formula of having Dendonker in the middle of the park along with Neves and Matina. So I'd probably leaning towards putting Sais in the back.
And then Dan, I think you're leaning towards Sais.
I'm leaning towards going to a flat back four and putting Connor Cody defensive mid.
Put him back there.
Yep.
Do you remember what this used to be like, Connor?
Do you remember when he used to play right back?
Yeah.
Good times.
Good times.
Good times. And that is where we're going to leave this week's Wolves Fancast. Thank you very much for listening. You can follow us all week on the social. Just type in Wolves Fancast and you will probably find us there. I want to say a big thank you to Wolves and the volunteers here who work at the Wolves Museum for hosting us for today's episode. As I say, you know, it's a fantastic thing as a Wolves fan to go and see for a couple of hours. It's in the heart of the North Bank. You can find more details on the Wolves website or museum.wolves.co.uk. So a big thank you to those two for letting us come and record the podcast today. I think after this we're going to go and try and also beat Bert Williams from the penalty spot as well. We'll be back next week, everybody, to talk about that game against Chelsea. And I got it wrong last week, so it's a correction already. Next week, we will be previewing the game against Man United in the FA Cup, up for the cup. Are we all up for the cup still?
Yeah. Still. We're still up for the cup.
Hashtag up for the all-dayer before the cup game. Cup game.
That's a long hashtag.
Yeah.
Hashtag up for the Gifford afterwards.
Yeah.
Up for the sesh.
Thank you very much for listening for this week. Bye from Jake.
Bye.
Bye.
My ears are bleeding already. Bye from Dan.
Bye.
Bye from Adam.
Bye.
Bye from me. See you next time.
The United States Border Patrol has exciting and rewarding career opportunities with the nation's largest law enforcement organization.
Earn great pay with outstanding federal benefits and up to $20,000 in recruitment incentives. Learn more online at cbp.gov/careers/USBP.